We look at Psalm 19. Book of Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters knowledge, utters speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His goings forth is from the end of the heaven, his circuit unto the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. Also look at Romans 1. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up. Let me stop there. God has written two books. One book that he's written without words. And David here talks about the two books that God has made. The one, every day, shines forth his glory. The other is the written word of God. And what we hold in our hands, this book, is the word of God. Remember the Thessalonians? When Paul preached to them, he said, when I preached to you, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is truly the word of God. I hope everybody here, when they open this book, they say, this is God's word. He's speaking to me, and I need to have ears to hear. But not only in the living Word, but in the creation itself. Look what he says. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. The word for declare is actually a root word where we get our word sapphire from. The heavens sapphire the glory of God. You know, remember, so much of the Scripture is written in poetry. It's a higher level of language. And it's very descriptive. We can say, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Or we could say, hey guys, listen up. Which one's more effective? You know, well, God can take His Word, so many of the prophets and David, and lifts up His Word to a higher level that can be sung. Remember, so much of these, especially the Psalms, were sung. Singing itself is a higher level of speech and lends itself to praise, to glorifying God. And His words have pictures behind some of the... To look out at the sky and you see that blue sky. God is sapphiring His glory. And in Hebrew poetry, there's various forms of it. But one is that, and you see a lot in Proverbs, but you see it here, it's called parallelism. We'll take one phrase and then we'll repeat it using different words. Here, it's the heavens, and that corresponds to His handiwork. Declares corresponds to shows. The glory, or the heavens corresponds to His handiwork, declares and shows, and then the glory of God. Glory of God in the firmament. Sorry, I mixed up. In the King James, it reverses the Hebrew, so we don't have, but the glory of God and handiwork correspond together. Declare and show correspond in the heavens and the firmament. And he's repeating the same thing in the second time. And in the Proverbs, you see, he does that, and sometimes he reverses the meaning. And but the poetry, the Hebrew poetry, has agreement in, sometimes it's in idea, like here. Sometimes it's in sound, like we were talking about rhyming. And sometimes it's in tempo, in timing. And so God raises that up to a higher level for us to give His praise. Now, when you wake up in the morning and you look out at the sky, do you see that that's the handiwork of God? That's the glory of God being displayed? There never was a day like today when people, when we look at creation, and we should give Him the glory. Whether you take a telescope and look into the farthest reaches of the universe, and you see millions and millions of stars. And we have one star that's nearby. He'll talk about it. The sun that has such an effect on us. But they haven't even found the end of the universe. The vastness and the glory that's displayed, the power of God is displayed in His work. We go to a museum and look at art. And you see some of the pictures that great artists have painted. And it tells us something about that artist. Well, what does his creation tell us? It tells us of his great power and his deity. And it leads us to pray and to give him praise that he's first. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night shows knowledge. The word therefore utters in verse 2 means to flow as a stream. And the word for night unto night shows knowledge, it means it breathes knowledge. Think about it when you go to bed at night. Your lungs, you still breathe. Now, some people have to use the machines to keep them from dying, I guess, from stop breathing. But in every breath that we take comes from God. Every heartbeat that we have is from Him. And His message goes to all the world, to all daylight and all nighttime, declares His glory. You know, the world, people of the world often say, if God would only give me some evidence, I'd believe. Why doesn't He show me something? And here, His creation shows every single day, every single night. You know, you go out at night and you look and see the moon and you see the stars. And they say something about the Creator, His power and great glory. And it's continuous. It's not, you hear it every once in a while. The other thing you hear people say, what about people who have never heard? What does this say? Their speech has gone to every language. Their voice, their voice is heard everywhere. In the far reaches of the globe. As the earth rotates, that light enlightens the whole globe. Nowhere does it not reach. And so, no one can say, I've never heard. The testimony of creation, of God's power and His might and His wisdom, proclaims every single day the wordless book. And in our day, as we have taken microscopes and looked down at the DNA and seeing the wonderful order that's in God's minute creation, we're taking telescopes, seeing the wonderful order in His macro creation. It says something about Him. It says that the world that we live in is a cosmos. It's not a chaos. A cosmos means it's orderly. Chaos means just it's random. And what does the world tell us? How did everything begin? It looks out and sees the cosmos and they say, yes, has the appearance of order. But we know that's not true. It's really disorder. It's not a chaos. When they give all their, the scientists give all their opinions on how the world began, it comes down to this. It goes down to a point in time when everything was in a minute, which didn't exist, and then, puff, it all came into existence. Out of nothing. The only time you see that, read about that, is in fairy tales, when things just puff into existence. And yet that's what they have to come to in order to deny God. They even come out and say, we cannot allow a divine foot in the door. We cannot acknowledge God in any way in science, because then it will destroy science. That's just the opposite of what's true. Science developed by Christians because they saw the world was an orderly world and they knew that this book and God was an orderly God. They started to look, can we understand cause and effect? Cause and effect. Everything we looked at, we try to find cause and effect. But when it comes to the first effect, they say there's no cause. They deny the power and might of the Creator and His wisdom. I've just been so impressed recently with, you know, just having a grandchild, Amy having a baby. Do you imagine the wisdom of God to have a design in the DNA, Bobby's and Amy's, and unite, and it knows to divide into another cell, divide into four cells, and over 9 months bring out a child that looks a little bit like both of them. And he's being formed in an environment that he's not going to exist in, but there's creating organs of eyes and ears and out for a totally different environment, a totally different world. How did it know how to do that? Just by chance? Time and chance would create such a thing? No. Displays the wisdom and power of our God. Over and over it happens so that we say it's normal. It's not normal. It's a miraculous, really. God's miraculous power displayed. All we'd have to do is have eyes to see it. And we live in a world that Satan has blinded the minds of those who don't believe, lest the light of the knowledge of the glory of God should shine unto them. Their eyes are blinded. We were once blind. But instead of now saying, where is God? We realize that His grace is everywhere. His power is everywhere. And He talks about how, describing this, the sun coming up each morning brightens the day. Sometimes we say hello to people, hey, sunshine, to somebody that brightens your day. And He says, that's the way God's sun is. Every day, it comes up. And each day, you see that beautiful sun rising, going forth in its power, like a runner. And then sunset, and we rush out to the beach to see the sunset. Haven't you seen it before? Yes, but it's glorious. And you know, isn't it something that God made color? Wouldn't it be a drab world if it was black and white? He sapphires the heavens, blue sky, the sun and its power coming across. And I always love the way C.S. Lewis put it. You know, as our children grow up and they do something or see something for the first time, or you play with them and they do it for the first time, what do they say? Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Because they're so thrilled with it. And it's kind of like, to a believer at least, when God causes His sun to rise up again each morning and sunset, we should be kind of saying, God, wow, God, do it again. That's really amazing. Look at that beauty that's there. And he talks about it. It's going forth from one end of heaven, makes a circuit to the other end. Nothing is hid from its heat. That's global warming every day. If you want to look for something, why we have global warming, that big bright thing in the sky that comes every day that enlightens and heats up the globe, that's true global warming. The great Creator has made it. The one who's the Creator is the sustainer of the universe. He's the author, but He's also the theme. The one who is the author of this book and the theme of this book is the same one who wrote the wordless book. And as we see Him in creation, we all need to praise Him. The world says, isn't Mother Nature wonderful? It's not Mother Nature. Father God is so mighty. And we can bow down and acknowledge and give, be thankful. Be thankful how much we have, how rich we are in Him. But then He goes on to compare the Word of God, the Scriptures. And He uses all these various terms for His Word. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. We're the ones who need to turn back. But there was one who never needed to turn back. Never had to say he was sorry. Never had to repent of what he did. But he was perfect. He always followed the Father. Always did the things that pleased him. He's the theme of this book. I like what Ingemar de Ritter used to say. This is our hymn book. It's all about Him. And as we read it, if you don't see Him in it, you're missing something. Just as in creation in the world, there's so many things there that we haven't yet discovered of His greatness. But His Word tells us more. Creation tells us about God to a point, enough that we should worship Him and bow down before Him. But His Word tells us more. Tells us that this Creator saw us destroy ourselves, be deceived, as Bobby had, disobeyed, deserved judgment and death because we didn't listen to Him. We listened to the wrong person. But He didn't want to leave us to just be a destroyed creation. But He made man in such a way that he could become a man and reveal Himself of who He is. And that's what the Scripture tells us. It's the testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. Where is the testimonies of the Lord? We have the Gospels. Those early believers testifying to us about the Lord and His life and His Word. Never a man spoke like this man. He's done all things well. He worked miracles that no one else ever did. And just as men are blind to His wordless book, they were willingly blind to His glories and the signs and miracles that He did. And to His Word. They rejected Him. But His rejection, as we had this morning, His rejection was the means. They meant it for evil. We meant it for evil. God meant it for good. To save a lost race. And we have the testimony of those early believers of the New Testament, of the Scripture that God, and they're sure. No guesswork involved. It's not, I hope so. It's I know so. And we have the Scripture says He makes wise the simple. Paul could tell Timothy that from an infant you have known the Holy Scriptures and they are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. If His Word is perfect, and His mind is right in everything. His testimonies are sure. Wouldn't we want to know every decision we make? Wouldn't we want to know what He would want us to do? Because that's the best thing that we could ever do. And yet, we still have our old nature. We think we know better. We think we're smarter. We think we're wiser. We're made wiser than all our teachers by giving heed to this book, to His Word. His statutes are right, rejoicing the heart. His principles. The Lord gets up on the mount and said, the Beatitudes, blessed is the man who rejoices the heart. Blessed is the man, the poor in spirit, the peacemakers, all the things that... This is the way to live. This is the way I desire you to follow. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. What do you think is better for society? Teaching our children to love God and to love one another? Or get all the gusto you can for yourself? Live for yourself. Get what you can. Whatever you can get away with, do it. Which one's better for society? And yet in our country, we banish the Word of God from public life. We don't teach our children His Word. We don't teach them you haven't given account to God. We don't teach them you should live beyond just selfish ambition, rather to help somebody else. And when they grow up to lie, cheat, and steal, we say, God, why did you allow this? It's the only time they acknowledge God. Got a guy at pickleball when they had that person shoot up the Christian school in Nashville. He said, why did the big guy allow that? That's how we put it. Are you kidding me? We turn away from everything He says, all His revealed will, where blessings come in, where true joy is, and we banish them from public life. Even the Ten Commandments, we can't show them in any public forum. So we have to embrace an atheistic worldview in public life and say that that's what our Constitution says. The early believers who made that Constitution knew the corruption of man. That's why they separated the powers. But the deceitfulness of men would try to go look and say, well, you can't talk about God. That's religion. You can't talk about a creator. That's religion. Science is poof. Everything comes into existence. That's what their belief is. God gives us His Word, tells us about His Son. And we listen to Him speak, and He speaks like no one else ever did. And He goes, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. In Isaiah 11, where it talks about the Lord there, says He shall be of a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Literally, in the Hebrew, it means He shall scent, S-C-E-N-T, the fear of the Lord. There was kind of an aura about Him. I'm not talking about a halo where you could see it. But at 12 years old, I must be about my Father's business. He comes in His public ministry. He comes into the temple and throws them all out. The fear of the Lord. There was that odor about Him, you might say, of the fear of the Lord. That His whole life was to respect and honor and reverence His Father. I always do the things that please Him. And whoever saw Him, whoever heard from Him, they could scent that fear that He had for the Lord. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Sometimes we don't know how things happen, why they happen. But we, like Abraham, say, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? We might not always know why this or that happens, but this we know, the judge of all the earth does absolutely what's right. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Do we desire His Word more than making a lot of money? How much time do we spend digging for gold? I mean, we saw no prospectors that say, there's gold in them there hills, you know. But there's gold. There's riches in this book. And it's the only book in the world that can bear continual reading. And you always find a nugget here and there that are like jewels. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. His word. You know, sometimes you read a verse, you've read it 100 times, and you read it sometimes, and I don't remember reading that before. And it sticks out at you, and it's a jewel. You just want to share. It's so sweet. God delights to share those things with us. Do we delight to read them? Do we give Him the time to show us His glories? We see His glories in creation. Do we take the time to praise Him for that? But then the glories of His person. He became a man. How amazing was that? Lived among us like no one else. Praise God. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be glorified. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there's great reward. It's not enough to read them. It's not enough to hear them. It's to keep it is the reward. You know, the manufacturers for cars give you the operator's manual. If you ignore it and never change the oil, or don't follow how you're supposed to operate it, there comes a point in which it's going to die. Your car is just not going to run. You know, if there's no oil, eventually, by the heat, it's going to bind up and melt. You can't blame the designer because you didn't read the book. If you do things and you hear things and you say, yeah, that sounds really good. I ought to put that into practice. If you don't put it into practice, there's no reward. The reward comes in obedience. In the keeping of them, there's great reward. God has warned us, don't do this. Not because He doesn't want you to be happy. It's because He knows it's going to hurt you. And He says, do this, because He knows you'll be happy. Follow what I'm the designer. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. But you know, so often we are smarter than Him. Who can understand His errors? Our ignorances, our secret faults, our presumptuous sins. Presumptuous comes from the word that means proud. Our ignorance, because we didn't bother to read the book. Our secret things, you know, nobody knows but me. Our presumptuous, our sins determined by our pride. We know better. Every disobedience is telling God, I know better than you. How foolish we are. And David comes down and realizes all this. He said, look, my mouth and my heart. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable. What I say, oh, that I would speak as faithfully as the creation does of the glory of God with my mouth. But he also knew out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, that the meditation of my heart, let it be acceptable. God looks at the heart. Things start in the heart. The pride starts there. And one thing we know is, as we bow before the Lord and His Word and His creation, He humbles us. He gives grace to the humble. But He resists the proud. If you think God's resisting you at times, maybe that's why. He gives grace to the humble. And David says, Lord, You're my strength. You're my rock. You're my redeemer. And let me always look to You in what I say, in what I think about, what I meditate on. What do I go over and over in my mind? Psalms talks and Proverbs talks about people who meditate evil on their bed. You know, the people who are rich and more money than anybody, you know what they think about at night? How to get more. See, what can I do here? And they don't care how they do it. Just get more. So meditate on that. Or other obsessions rather than His Word. Not to make other things our idols, but the true God, to meditate and give Him praise, for He deserves it all. Shall we close in prayer? Lord, we thank You for the books You have written. The great testimony that is there in creation, no matter how we look at it, displaying Your not only a great engineer, but a great artist, the beauty of it all. Even though it's repeated daily, still amazing. And the more we learn, the more amazed we are at Your great wisdom. But then we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. For You being the living Word, come to live among us. To show us who You are, Your love. To be our Redeemer and our Rock. Help us, Lord, to speak words that You want us to say and meditate on things that You want us to think about. We pray this in Your name. Amen.